This is Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, a podcast and radio program presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. Most any contemporary musical style can trace its roots back to the blues. Time Signatures explores the blues and its musical connections with captivating interviews, lively discussions, and news from the world of the blues.
You know I'm crying, crying, baby, driving up in
And now, here he is, your host, Jim Irvin.
Well, thank you so much, Parker, and welcome to Time Signatures. I'm your host, Jim Irvin, and we are happy and pleased to welcome today's guest. This Kansas City, Missouri native was initially influenced musically by her parents, both of whom were very active in music all those years ago. Her father playing blues guitar and her mother singing with Little Even the Works. Years later, she and her two brothers, Nick and Chris, formed the band Trampled Underfoot, and they took the 2008 IBC in Memphis by storm, walking away with the overall title. In 2014, the band also won Contemporary Blues Album of the Year at the BMAs for Badlands, and she also won Instrumentalist in the Bass category. In early 2015, Danielle decided to leave the band and kicked off her solo career. Now, here we are 9 years later, and Danielle Nicole is still up there knocking it out of the box with her own soulful brand of the blues, and she must be doing something right because she's amassed 7 BMAs, Grammy nominations, and she's also been inducted into the Kansas City Hall of Fame. Her latest CD, The Love You Bleed, is, in my opinion, some of her best work to date, but we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Danielle Nicole, welcome to Time Signatures. It's truly an honor to be talking with you today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. And we're going to dive right in here because we've got a lot of ground to cover. We want to talk about your musical roots for just a minute and what led you into the blues ultimately.
Well, you know, as you mentioned, both my parents were musicians. My mother is retired. My father passed away many years ago, but they were both really big in the local scene and the regional scene. And it was really, I got introduced to the blues by my father when he had fallen in love with Johnny Winter. And he was like, well, who influenced Johnny Winter? And it was Muddy Waters. And then, so he went down the blues rabbit hole to Charlie Patton and Skip James and all that. And
sure.
So there was, when the blues came into the household, it was something I just immediately was drawn to it, you know, and I didn't know why at the time, you know, but it's just looking back, I think it was just because it was really raw. And, you know, all of my favorite singers at the time when I was a child, you know, they were Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey and Aretha, you know, and eventually Etta and Bonnie and all that. And, so, you know, they were really just kind of singing blues over pop, you know, especially Whitney and Mariah. They were singing gospel and stuff. And so I think I always loved it, you know. And so when my brothers and I decided to play music, you know, we knew that we were going to, you know, we had roots in the blues and, sure. And I was drawn to it, you know.
Well, growing up in Kansas City, it's not like growing up in Chicago or Memphis, I would imagine. So what were your earliest influences as you got deeper into the blues?
Well, my earliest influences, you know, were the local musicians, Cotton Candy and, you know, my mom, my dad, and Linda Shell and, you know, Myra Taylor. But, you know, as far as records was, you know, my dad had a massive record collection. And so we listened to everything from Everly Brothers to Pink Floyd to, you know, of course, Janis Joplin and again, Aretha, you know, he had he had a really vast collection. And so, you know, I listened to absolutely everything and I just loved the bands that had strong singers, man. That's always what I was always drawn to. And so all the early influences, you know, outside of the local musicians, but I listened to Muddy Waters all the time, you know, and a lot of Bobby Blue Bland, and a lot of Etta James, you know, and Coco Taylor and stuff. And sure. They just real distinct voices, you know, and you know they were half pioneers but half traditionalists as well, you know, because this is when they were, when Muddy Waters was becoming popular and the music was becoming electrified, you know, he was like called a sellout and all that stuff, you know, but it was really just the modernization of the blues. And so I caught on to those musicians that were celebrating that during their heyday, you know, so it was like, and you had to sing with the microphone that was on and no after market effects to tune it up and stuff, you know, you really had to be able to do it live. And, you know, so there was an ethic that was like ingrained in me, is like, you have to do this correctly. And you the first time, you know, you can't waste your studio time. You can't waste the people's time. You can't waste the musicians with you.
Well, Danielle, after a 5-year stint with Fresh Brew, your early music career centered around a band that you formed with your brothers, Nick and Chris. Talk about that process of bringing Trampled Underfoot together. What kind of discussion was involved in that whole process?
Well, the main discussion was who would play bass. Because okay. I didn't play bass guitar, you know. I messed around. I mean, I knew I really liked playing rhythm guitar. I cannot lead, but man, I will sit back and just play rhythm all night on a gig if I could. I would love to do that. But so I didn't like play any bass at all, you know. And I played some tenor sax in middle school, and that was literally it as far as the bass clef goes. So the main discussion was what we were going to do about that. And then I had offered to check it out, to try and learn it and see if it was something that I would like, you know? And, so some months go by and I'm just grinding away, just practicing. And, you know, it wasn't something that came naturally to me. So I had to work very hard to not only learn how to play the bass, but learn how to sing and do it at the same time. You know, so there were some months of going to jams that they're like, are you sure about this? I'm like, I'm going to get there, man. I'm going to get there. I promise, you know.
But you did work at it.
So that was the main discussion we had. But it was like, you know, Nick was doing his thing up in Philly and he was gaining a lot of traction between Philly and New York. And Chris and I had been playing in bands here in Kansas City and nothing like super serious. But Chris and I just really loved playing together. And, you know, so we had that phone call and then, so Chris and I were still in Kansas City. And so after I got through, you know, after I knew I could get through at least a third of a gig, you know, we'd have other singers come and play and it was like a jam type situation. And he really helped me to get stronger on playing and singing while Nick was still fulfilling his, right, you know, the stuff that he had to do up in the East Northeast. And we were going back and forth and doing some shows here and there together, but we didn't really start hitting it hard till Chris and I made the move to move up to Philly in 2004. No, we were there from 2002 to 2004, I think. Okay. And yeah, so that was how the band had kind of developed. We were playing together for a couple years before we actually like went full steam on it and stuff. So we kind of already had a little bit of a following had been built up.
And I have to ask you, what was it like winning the 2008 IBCs? That did that kind of cement in your mind that y'all were headed in the right direction at that point?
Definitely. We were already really grinding by that time, you know, but we didn't have any kind of record deal or anything. And so when we went down to Memphis, we were just kind of just making some noise, you know, because we knew a lot of promoters would go down there. And so we just entered the IBC to see what would happen. And then we took first place in KC and we were like, wow, we get a chance to go do this, man, you know? But we didn't go down there with the intention of like, we're going to win this or anything like that. You know, we just wanted to be like, this is who we are. This is what we're doing. You know, hi, we're Trampled Underfoot, you know? And so we made it to the finals and it was really surreal. It was very surreal, but, the set was short and Chris's drum set was falling apart, and he pulled it together and made it work. And it didn't feel real, you know, until they were really like handing us the plaques and giving Nick the guitar and stuff. And we were like, okay, well, I guess we got something here for sure. But we kind of knew we had something special, you know, doing the shows together prior, because it was like,
sure,
there was a magic and people really enjoyed seeing us play together, and we had a lot of fun.
You know, looking over your work, your body of work with Trampled Underfoot, I instantly became a fan when I discovered the band. My favorite disc out of all of them was the live at Notodden. Did I say that right?
Notodden. Every time I go over there, they're like, Notodden. And Notodden. The accents on the, and any Norwegian people are like, no, that's not it at all. A lot of people say Notodden. The locals kill me and when I go there in July.
Somebody turned me on to Fog, the live version at Notodden. I hope I said that a little bit better.
Yes.
Just absolutely fell in love. I can't find the CD anywhere. Thankfully, I was able to get a download of it, a digital download through one of the websites had it available. But I'm still looking, because I think that's the only one of the group that I don't have from Trampled Underfoot. Anyway, want to get moving here. On the face of it, 2014 looks like it was kind of a bittersweet time for you and your brothers. By my count, Badlands was, I believe, your sixth album by Trampled, when it won the Contemporary Blues Album of the Year at the BMAs. And then your brother Chris decided to step away from the band. That must have been tough, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So 2015 arrives and you make your decision to start your solo career. Did you kind of feel like things had sort of run their course with Trampled Underfoot and you just wanted to stretch out and try something new?
Well, you know, I told Nick that tough wasn't tough without Chris. When Chris decided, he decided to step away at the end of 2013. And a friend of ours in town was stepping away from his band as well. He actually called me the day that he stepped away from the band, long story short. And Nick and I, we were not in a position, you know, we both had young children. We weren't in a position to just take a year off, you know? So, his name was Jan Faircloth, and he toured with Nick and I and Mike Sedovic on keys for the most of, you know, 2014 to kind of tour out the last year and fulfill. We had obligations and shows, and for me, it was making preparations to go solo in 2015, you know, to give respect to the people throughout the year and keep my family afloat, you know, for an entire year while we prepared and I recorded Wolfden and all of that. So it was a huge undertaking, to figure out pretty quickly who I was as a solo artist, you know, and that's why a lot of Wolfden sounds like, you know, tough songs, because I wrote half of that album for the next album after Badlands, you know, and it was really weird having a successful album knowing the band was imploding and the family wasn't doing well and everything, you know. So it was a lot to do, you know, and I was a relatively new mom. He was only 3 years old. Eli was only 3 years old at the time. And I learned a lot pretty darn quick.
Absolutely.
You either sink or swim. And, you know, one thing I say to a lot of new artists and stuff is like, figure out what you want to do, because this is a difficult life. You know, 99.9% of us don't have a hit on AAA radio, you know, so you have to really figure out if you love this enough to do the work. I mean, this is essentially my second climb now, because Tough was like, we were about to hit really big. We were doing real well over in Europe, you know, and it's like, it's a, you know, the same story as a ton of bands, you know, like they implode right before, you know, the greatness. But so this is essentially my second climb as an artist, you know, and so I've been able to learn a lot. You know, so you really definitely got to love what you're doing.
Absolutely. This is Time Signatures. I am your host, Jim Irvin, and along with me today is a wonderful blues artist, somebody I've been wanting to talk to for quite some time, Danielle Nicole. We so much appreciate your time, and thank you so much for being with us today. I kind of wanted to talk just a little bit, because I try to talk to all of the artists that I interview about the pandemic. What did you do during the pandemic? How clearly it affected your trajectory in some form or fashion, but how did you respond to that, and what did you do during that period?
You know, it really did. 2019 was a huge year for Brandon and I and our band. You know, we had really found our sound, and we had done three really successful tours over in Europe, all over Europe, from the North Pole, you know, down into the mainland of Europe. And so, yeah, it was a light switch for the whole world, like everybody else. Everything just kind of stopped. And me, I embraced it, you know, because there was no way I was going to be able to take 2 years off of touring by my own choice.
Right.
You know, so I got 2 years, you know, with my boys, with at home, to be mom. And the circumstances were stressful, and money was tight for a long time, and we had to figure out, you know, what to do. And Brandon got us through a lot of that financially. You know, I was very fortunate to have a strong partner and a supportive partner, you know, and a lot of people didn't. So I knew that in my position, I just needed to really fully embrace it. And once you get over the initial depression as an artist, you're just like, well, this is how I create my art, and I can't do that anymore. And everything is digital, and we connect, you know, emotionally, you know. Yeah. You know, the whole point of being vulnerable on a stage and being a true artist and an honest musician is opening yourself up to that connection with people, and let, you know, we all have our guard up a lot now, especially now our hearts are very hardened by the screens, you know, and just the desensitization of just not having that connection. And so it's been a challenge in some markets getting that back. You know, a lot of people are embracing it and a lot of people aren't, but it really got to a point where you get over the depression of figuring out like who you are without your craft, without your art, and then got over that lump and really just had fun with my children. You know, we did everything that we could do within what we were allowed to do respectfully.
Right.
And I got to be a mom. So while there was a lot of stress of what are we going to do, you know, when is this going to happen? Cause everything is like, oh, it's going to open up. No, it's going to not like 9 months, you know? So wrote a lot of songs. I'm always trying to write. I had written a lot of songs. And so we were like, okay, well, let's take this time and go into the studio. And I had been released from Concord. And so I had a producer set up. Tony was going to come in. I had a label that was going to, you know, fund it and stuff. And they pulled out 2 weeks before we were supposed to do it. So I was like, wow. Well, F that, I'm just going to do it. And then this is the album that we recorded, and we recorded it to tape in the studio, which was really, it was really challenging and freaking awesome. And I will never record another way again, other than 2-inch tape, man, for real.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So we recorded this album, and then, you know, and then my brother got sick, and you know, he thought it was an ulcer, and it ended up being stage 4 cancer.
Mm.
So, you know, that obviously put everything on hold. We didn't know, you know, the world was starting to open back up. but we canceled everything, and just we were home for him. And, you know, he fought really hard, and he was gone in 9 months. you know, so it was like, you know, right when everything was starting to open up again, that, you know, so, you know, he was everything. So sorry.
Yeah. No, that's okay.
I know you're asking about that's, you know, so that's what a lot of the weight was for putting this out. It's like, you know, how do I move on? How do I do this? And so I'm at a place where we're able to put it out, and I'm really glad for that.
Absolutely. Danielle, in the years since you went solo, and I have to read this because there's so much here, but you've earned some truly high praise. I mean, Guitar World touted your soulful, inventive playing and tireless work ethic. The Blues Magazine adds, Nicole brings it, bakes it, and serves it up blazing on a silver soul-rocking platter. And the Kansas City Star has essentially compared your development and maturity to that of Betty LaVette. Even Coco Taylor once said, that girl gets down to the nitty gritty. talk about how that feels. I mean, to hear that kind of praise coming from the blues community for the work that you've been putting in.
You know, it really means a lot to me to have, especially this album, be really well received, because, you know, we wrote, you know, I wrote 11 of the 12 songs that are on the CD itself. And then Brandon and I wrote about half of those together as well. And it was really honest, you know, and so for it to be really well received, and for the people to still be able to find a connection with it that I look up to. And I mean, I appreciate what the Star said, but I mean, it's just like, Betty LaVette is a freaking queen legend. So I don't, you know, it really means a lot to me. And it's really humbling to, you know, to have people that I look up to and to call my peers and have a respect in that, because it's hard to, as an artist, to put your heart and soul out on the chopping block, you know, especially today's world. This new world is it's savage. So
yeah, it's really changed.
It really has. And so, you know, I just try to still be as authentic and as open as I can. I was just like, well, this is it. So this is all I can be, is me. You know,
yeah.
And so for people to relate to that, is it means a lot, because it just encourages me to be more myself, because I feel more like myself than I have, you know.
That's
in
wonderful.
My previous recordings and in my writing and stuff. So it's getting easier to be more honest.
Danielle, The Love You Bleed is the new album. I got to tell you, I think honestly, this is some of your best work, I believe. Some of my favorite work out of the albums that you have released as a soloist. Head Down Low, Walk On By, Fool's Gold, three of my favorites that are on this album. I'm always looking for something that makes me feel. And, you know, you talk about honesty in your writing. I think that you've achieved that. There's a lot of music on here that truly made me feel when I was listening to it. And it's definitely a work that you should be proud of. I mean, you know, I know that you've talked about it, about the new album and such, and how it makes you feel. What's been the overall reception by the general public? Are you getting a lot of positive feedback on the album?
I really have, you know, I'm fortunate in that, I've got an incredible band of musicians, you know, and they're on the record. So like what you hear on this record is what you hear when we're playing in Phoenix or we're playing in DC, you know, in April or whatever. Like, it's an honest representation of it. And I have a really wonderful group of people that have followed my music through Tough, you know, and people that have also found me just on my own. And they know my intention and they know my heart, you know? And so I'm really lucky in that. Most of them have been able to follow and, you know, come with me in this journey of my songwriting. And it's not that I'm taking intentional turns or genre bending stuff. It's just, I'm growing as an artist and stuff, and I'm learning as a songwriter. And one of the best things to do is explore, you know, and that's why I love being a contemporary blues artist.
Yes.
And being able to push the boundaries, because the blues is everything. And it's so funny because they're like, well, the blues is like salt and pepper, you know? And I'm like, no, the blues is the fat, man. The blues is the butter and the oil and the grease that you're fat that you're cooking with, you know? That's what the blues is to music. It's not, you don't sprinkle it on top. It's literally the base of what you're, of the roof. And it's the, you know, and so I think that the writing journey is a lot of fun, and it's still blues, but it still pushes the boundaries and stuff. And I've been able to find new people that way, and new artists and new markets and opportunities as well. And then I can bring the blues into it. And they've been like, oh, some of the younger kids are like, I didn't know that I liked blues until I heard your band, you know? And it's no, I'm not a traditional blues artist, and I have not claimed to be one. I am a contemporary blues artist, and I'm proud to say that. You know, I don't want to dress it up and say, well, I'm roots and Americana, because there's that stigma of being a blues artist. No, there's not. There's a stigma because you're letting it be a stigma.
Listen, if Buddy Guy can bring contemporary music into his presentation, which he does, and you look around and it's not just older people at a Buddy Guy concert.
No, not at all. It's young kids. You know,
yes.
You go to the Kingfish show, go to Gary Clark Jr. That's the contemporary blues, man. It is out there. Eric Gales, that stuff is out there, and it's the blues.
Joe Bonamassa, my guy over here hanging up on the wall. I mean, I am not in the blues box. I like contemporary. I like the blues rock fusion. I like all of it because, again, if it makes me feel, that's what makes me appreciate it, you know, and that's what I'm sure that's what you're getting out there on, you know, from the general public.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, you just gotta be willing to open up your heart and you'll figure it out. You'll feel it.
Yes, ma'am. Danielle, where can people find your music? Where can they buy your CDs? If somebody wants to book you, where can they go for that information?
Well, all roads, you know, it start from DanielleNicoleMusic.com. Okay. That's how you can get to my booking, whether it's US or international, to press and radio, to directly to the band. It's where you can get souvenirs. It's where you can get tickets, and, you know, always buy tickets directly from the artist site or the venue site.
Yes. Yes.
Those are the only valid ticket links. And my site goes to the venue. So it goes to the site that they gave me to purchase tickets, you know, just a friendly reminder. But yeah, that's where you can get it, you know, and we're on all the platforms, all the streaming stuff. The website that's got all my tour dates, bands in town, you know, so DanielleNicoleMusic.com.
Very good. Danielle Nicole, it has been a pleasure to have you on Time Signatures today, and we appreciate you. Lots and lots of good luck in your future, and of course, we want to see you in Michigan. I've actually put you on my wish list for a couple of events up here in the state of Michigan.
We confirm a play up in Michigan later this year. So, go to our website and we'll have the announcements. Get on the email list. We'll have a blast.
Yes. Fantastic. Well, once again, great having you here. And to our listeners and our watchers, thank you so much for tuning in. Jim Irvin reminding you that keeping the blues alive is the goal, but preserving the history of the blues one story at a time, that's my mission. Thanks so much for watching and listening. We'll see you soon.
This has been Time Signatures with Jim Irvin, presented by the Capital Area Blues Society in Lansing, Michigan. For more information on cabs, visit capitalareablues.org. You can find this episode and past episodes at lccconnect.org. The Time Signatures theme song, Michigan Roads, is used by permission and was written by Root Doctor, featuring Freddie Cunningham.
You know I'm trying, trying, baby, driving up in
Until next time, keep on keeping the blues alive.